Hello, Mixed Nutcases. This is Nuke Joss, and I've got another nutty chat for you for the dog days of podcasting. With me today, I've got Miss Claire. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
And you would know Claire from, let's see if I can get them all, the Defenders podcast, which we'll talk about a home for that later. Intro to X, Kearneycast. Is there anything else?
No, that's it, apart from just guesting on other stuff. That's forcing true. My way on other podcasts like yours, you know.
Yes, and you've already heard her voice. So, Claire, you are all the way in England, yes?
Yeah, just outside London. It's very cold and windy here this August.
We're in the middle of a cold snap as well, and it's wonderful. I love it. It's like 22 degrees every day.
A lot of people seem to think that this is warm, but having been in New York a few weeks ago, as you can attest, because you were also there, yes, that I've never been so hot in my life as I was in New York. I felt like I was living in a volcano. So this is not hot. This is Arctic weather compared to New York.
Yeah, New York in the summer is definitely, heat is not something that people think about, but it's definitely a factor there.
Definitely. It was like living in underneath someone's large sweaty armpit.
And the worst part is when you got to put your garbage out in the city, there's no place to put it other than on the street. So you're walking past like piles of garbage. It's hot and it just smells.
Yeah.
And
I'd only ever been to New York in the winter. So I think this is my first time in the summer. So I think from future, I'm going to go in the spring or the autumn, you know. Yes. Best of both worlds.
Those are really the best times to go. And actually, New York in the autumn, it's beautiful. It's the right temperature. It's not too cold that you don't want to do anything. It's still warm enough that you can walk all over the city and not have to be bundled up. And then you've got those beautiful leaves changing color.
Yeah, I really want to go to like New England during the fall or the autumn, mm-hmm. for English people, at some point, because I've never been and it just looks so pretty and I would love to go. But I live right next to one of the Royal Parks of London, so we get that in the autumn as well with all the leaves changing and the deer and stuff. So I'd just like to see it in New England because it's meant to be so nice.
Did you say the deer and stuff?
Yeah, well, Richmond Park, which is the park literally 10-minute walk from my house, is famous for its deer because they have two types of deer that live in the park. So you see them all year round. You have to be careful driving through the park because the deer can just wander into the road. But you see them all year round. So you see like the little baby deer being born. You see when the stags start growing their antlers and then when they're rutting and fighting and stuff. So it's really famous for those. So yeah, it's quite nice like visiting there. Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah. And it's such a beautiful park. It's like the one furthest out of London that's the Royal Park, and it's really pretty. You can see, if you stand at certain points in the park, you can see St. Paul's Cathedral in the city and the London Eye, which is weird because it's like, 12 miles away, but you can see directly to it, in the city.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Cool. Yeah, it's really cool.
Growing up, I would spend my summer on Fire Island, and it's plagued with white-tailed deer. But only one type. To me, growing up, deer were never, like, oh, look, deer. It's like, oh, look, deer going through the trash.
It's deer. It's like when people go to, people from Europe go to America and they're like, oh, a raccoon. And
exactly.
Guys are like, oh, a raccoon. It's like us with foxes, it's like, yeah, great.
Yeah. I get excited when I see the fox around here. We got little red foxes that are around this base.
I love foxes. I think they're apart from, when they're making noise at night because they're so loud. But yeah, I think they're cute.
So you've actually, we've spoken about how the stereotype for English people are that they don't really like to travel. And they don't like going places that don't have English food and don't speak English and everything else like that.
Yeah, I have a lot of my parents' friends are exactly like that. Luckily, my parents aren't, so I think that probably influenced me.
But you're a little bit of a world traveler. But when you travel, you're all about, or it seems to me at least, about going to pop culture locations.
I did a lot of international traveling in my younger days when I wasn't an old lady like I am now. So I've been, you know, I've been to Australia and New Zealand and Fiji and all over America. But nowadays it's more about visiting the people rather than mm-hmm. the places. Because, you know, you go to see the people and, you know, that's usually, you know, what's going to make the holiday, make or break it. But yeah, I do love visiting pop culture locations, which is why I like going to the States, because, you know, somewhere like New York is a giant film set. So you can go around and go, oh, it's the Daily Planet from Superman, or it's this from Daredevil. Yay. And just basically nerd out. But it's pretty much the same as, you know, London. It's why I like cities, because, you know, I'm loving pop culture so much. You just walk around and say, oh yeah, they shot Sherlock episode whatever there and everything. It's kind of, you know, nerd heaven. Nerds, I don't know if nerds would do so well in the countryside. I don't know, because
they'd
have
to drive really far to get to the next filming location.
Yeah. Or to the cinema, or to like a convention, you know. Yeah, I think it's just part of me being a, you know, a city girl. I'm definitely the city side of the family. My sister is a total country mouse. I'm a town mouse.
Now I'm picturing you as a little mouse.
I have a little mouse brooch, and my sister has another one, and they're the town mouse and country mouse. I bought them for, yeah, which we have one each, and one's holding a little acorn, which is the country mouse, and one's holding a little piece of cheese, which is the town mouse, and that's the one I have.
See, I don't have to picture it now. So what are some of your favorite filming locations that you've visited?
Oh man, how long do we have? recent ones. I love the Bethesda Fountain in Central Park, and Bethesda Terrace, that whole area. I just think it's a really pretty fountain. I love this. I have a big thing about statues, and I love the statue in the Fountain of the Angel. I think it's one of the prettiest statues I've ever seen. And that was the fountain was used in the opening credits of Angels in America, which aired, you know, a few years ago on HBO, I think. But also they filmed a ton of stuff there, like Enchanted. They filmed The Avengers there. You know, they filmed like tons of stuff. Like, it's super famous. I love it there. I just think it's such a nice little area. I really love this town in Australia called Coober, which is about halfway between the south coast and Alice Springs, or sort of, you know, the middle of Australia. And this town, they filmed like a ton of films around there, like the Mad Max trilogy, the original ones. They filmed Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. I think they filmed some of the original Star Wars. Just like a Pitch Black, they filmed there. And the town is utterly bonkers anyway, because it's mainly an opal mining town. So they have opal mines all over the place. You have to be very careful. Like, you can't just go running around in the desert on your own, because you might fall down a mine shaft.
Oh, my gosh.
But, because it's in the desert, about half of the buildings are underground. So you look at a building from above and you think, well, that doesn't look very big. Like our hostel we stayed in, you go into the hostel underground and there's all these rooms and it's amazing. We went to an underground church when I was there, which is completely underground, just carved out of the rock. There's people that have houses underground that have swimming pools and everything, but you can't tell from looking above. And because of the film sort of history of it, they have the spaceship from Pitch Black, which is just sitting in the high street as a prop, spaceship in the high street. It's also the town in which the guy who inspired Crocodile Dundee lives, and his name's Crocodile Harry. And they filmed parts of Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome in his house. And he actually has Tina Turner's bra hanging up on his wall. And he's completely insane and actually did used to like wrestle crocodiles and stuff.
Fantastic.
It's such a bonkers town. I love it. And there's a golf course there where it's completely made out of sand. And then for the holes around the whole area, they put ash down so it's black. But someone, like, obviously with a sense of humor, has put up a sign saying, please keep off the grass, which is just hilarious because there's not grass for like miles. I really like that town. And they filmed Priscilla, Queen of the Desert there, which is one of my favorite movies.
I love that movie so much.
Oh, me too. And they filmed that out at Kings Canyon as well, which is where they climbed, I believe, at the end, where they're all in drag in the middle of Australia. That's if anyone is going to the center of Australia, go to Coober, because it's insane.
That sounds really fantastic.
So Billy Connolly has said he wants to be buried there because, like, the town is so crazy. Like,
who said this?
Billy Connolly.
Oh, well, that sounds like something he would say.
Yeah.
So you said that now when you travel, you're really focused on people. And I'm assuming that has to do with a lot to do with the fact that you know a lot of people all over the world now, thanks to podcasting. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Like, and also my ex housemates now live in Los Angeles, for instance, because she was American and she married Paul, who's English. They moved to Los Angeles and they've now had a child, so they'll probably be out there for a few years. Los Angeles isn't one of my favorite cities. I've visited it a few times. It's really not my favorite. I prefer San Diego and San Francisco if we're talking about, you know, the West Coast. But I will visit there because it's about seeing them. And also, when you know people in a location, you get to do a lot of awesome things that are like local things. If you're not so worried about the places, like, oh, I have to go to Hollywood Boulevard and this place and that place and locations, usually you find a lot more cool things, you know, that are sort of local tips. And you just get to spend time more with the people you've gone to see. So, yeah, definitely. And you, because as well with podcasting, you do get to know people from all over the world. So it's one of the perks, I guess. Get into podcasting, guys. Yeah. You'll always have a couch to crash on when you're abroad.
This is true. This is true. I think you and I talked about how cities have a certain feel to them. And older cities, more organic cities, just feel right. And newer cities just feel weird. And I'm wondering, is LA like, does it have that newer city feel, whereas San Diego has that older organic feel?
Not really. LA's just so big and sprawling. And I don't know. I think it was the first time I went to LA and I had a tour around it. Luckily, the girl I was traveling with and I bumped into this Australian guy who had a car that he'd hired, and he had it for one last night, and he was flying to Hawaii the next day, and he was like, hey, do you girls want a tour? And I mean, I was 21. Maybe I should have said no, but you know, I'm still here. Luckily I wasn't murdered, so that's good. And he drove us all around LA, which is the only way to see it. But it was on that drive that I really realized that a lot of the celebrities that live there, because you sort of grow up thinking, oh, Hollywood, it's so glamorous, but you really realize a lot of the celebrities that live there because it's close to work. It's convenient. Yeah. That was the first time I kind of went, oh, that's why a lot of celebrities have houses in all these other places that are far more beautiful or interesting, you know? Mm. It's like any city, there's cool places to go, but it's definitely not one of my favorites. It just doesn't feel like it's got much personality to me, LA, which I'm sure it does if you live there, but not as much to me as somewhere like New York or somewhere else. San Francisco, I love, because it's easier to get around. I love that it's so hilly. It's not so flat. I find it more interesting. And of course, Harold and Maude was filmed there, talking about filming locations, my favorite film of all time. And it just feels more interesting to me, you know? I should add to that story as well, the Australian guy that my friend and I met, she met up with him later when she went to Australia and they ended up getting married.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Which is, yeah, very cool ending to that story.
Yeah. So what's the next place you want to visit?
I really want to go to Canada because I've got a lot of friends in Canada and I haven't been. The only bit of Canada I've been to is Niagara side of the Canadian side of the falls, which incidentally America is a lot nicer than the American side. I'm sorry to say.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say. I'm just 2 hours from there and I haven't visited it yet.
Yeah, it's the falls were really cool, but the Canadian side was much nicer. I didn't really like the American side, but I really want to go to Canada. I want to go to Montreal. I want to try poutine. I've been told so much about it. So Canada, definitely. I really would like to go back to New Zealand because when I was there, it was the year that the first Lord of the Rings was released. Mm-hmm. So the hype hadn't really kicked off and I'd love to see how New Zealand is now, you know, post Lord of the Rings. And I would love to go back to some areas of Asia, like Bali. I really want to go to Java, places like that. I'd love to go to Japan, but it's just too expensive. And I'd really love to go to Scandinavia, particularly Norway. I really want to see the Northern Lights, but it's insanely expensive, even compared to London. So, just a few trips planned, you know.
You could see the Northern Lights by going to Canada, but you have to go in the winter, so... That's no fun.
No, but I want to go to, I don't know, I just want to go to Norway. My favorite pavilion at Epcot I know it's not the same thing as going to those countries, but my favorite one is the Norway pavilion, because I really like the building, the architecture. It just looks so pretty. So I just want to go there. And the Canadian one's very nice, even though it has a castle, which I don't really understand. But yeah, the Norwegian architecture just looks so pretty. And out of all of Scandinavia, I think that's where I'd most like to go. So one day, not because I'm a massive fan of Frozen or anything, I'm really not. But yeah, just because it looks really pretty and it's very different to anywhere I've really been. You know, I haven't been to the Alps or anything like that, anywhere really snowy. So yeah, it would be nice.
I think I'd like to hit up all of those cities or rather countries and places that you've mentioned. So when you went to New Zealand, did you get to see the Hobbit town at all?
No, because we were in, we did go to Hamilton, which is near where they film, which does look like it's weird. It's like it's straight out of picture book England. Mm. Like when, no offense, when Americans in the 90s, particularly, or the 80s would set films in England, it would either be, you know, in London or in the countryside. That's what the New Zealand countryside looks like. It looks like the picture book version of the English countryside, just sheep and fields and little winding lanes. But we didn't see, from what we know, any of the filming locations, because they don't leave anything behind. The film was coming out. This was only a few months before the film came out. The interesting thing was, when we were in Wellington, everyone we met, when you sort of said to them, what do you do for a living, either they or someone they that was very close, like brother, sister, partner, whatever, was working on Lord of the Rings. Like, everyone was working on Lord of the Rings. They'd be like, oh, I do this, you know, and my partner is working on Lord of the Rings. And it was just like everyone in New Zealand seemed to be working on it. And they were kind of saying, you know, this is going to be massive. And at the time, nobody really knew how big, you know, Lord of the Rings is big, but, you know, it could fail. It's a big fantasy thing. It's elves running around, you know, it could be a big box office failure. But they really had faith in the project they were working on. They were like, no, it's going to be massive. And of course,
like, dude,
it ended up
being the guy who did Frighteners. Of course, it's going to be awesome.
Exactly. I was more excited because it was the guy who did Heavenly Creatures, because I love that film. It always upsets me, though. Whenever I watch it, I always have to phone my mum up afterwards and tell her I love her, because I'm like, I would never bludgeon you with a brick, mum. I love you.
I watched that movie and I had no idea that it was Peter Jackson. And I was like, this is so bizarre. And then I did an episode of Talk Nerdy to Me where we covered Frighteners last year for their Halloween horror thing. They do a movie a day for the entire month of October. It's insane. And there were quite a few actors that were in that because they liked Heavenly Creatures so much that they wrote to Peter Jackson and said, can I be in your next movie?
Yeah.
And they're so different.
It was completely different to his other films. Like, if you look at his things before that, like Brain Dead, and I can't think of the name of his other gore one, but also like Meet the Feebles, which is like the Muppets are rated on crack. And then he did Heavenly Creatures. It's so different to everything else. And I really think I was really excited when he was announced to be adapting The Lovely Bones, even though I didn't really like the book that much because I was working in a bookshop at the time. The book was huge, but I wasn't that big a fan. But I thought, you know, hopefully this will be something like Heavenly Creatures. And I really didn't like Lovely Bones, the movie.
I thought it was
bloated and overdone. And it's a hard story to do. I mean, I don't know how it could have been adapted well, but I was a bit disappointed it didn't turn out more like Heavenly Creatures, because I think Heavenly Creatures is fantastic.
But Heavenly Creatures, wasn't that based on like actual people?
Yeah, it's a real case, and the character that Kate Winslet plays, I think her name was Juliet Hume. I think it was only revealed like not that many years ago. Like who she actually was, because she changed her name. And it was kind of revealed who she was. And she was a author, I think. I don't know that many details about it, but it's a really interesting case. And I mean, the film is very dark. It's this kind of like whimsical fantasy film, you know, and everything. But it really goes dark. And the ending of it is horrific. But it's, it's kind of like a fascinating case to read about, you know, the actual case of what happened.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
No one ever really knows sort of how it, you know, the reasons and everything.
I was just gonna say, I wouldn't recommend it to everybody, but if you like weird and twisted and, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but if you like that kind of movie where it's bizarre and weird and you're not sure if you liked it or not, definitely watch it.
Yeah. It was like my friend and I, a while ago, we went to see the new Mad Max, Fury Road, which I loved. But afterwards, and she tends to watch like quite, I don't know, normal films, I would say. Mm-hmm. Not insulting her taste, but mainstream films, yeah. But she said to me afterwards, she was like, that was the strangest film I've ever seen. And I said to her, you need to watch more films with me, Joe. We're going to go watch Eraserhead.
That note, I think we're going to cut that off. That's a great way to end the podcast. Cool. Thank you for coming on last minute. Is there anything you want to tell people? Any websites you want to tell them to go to? Anything they want should be following?
You can follow, well, I'm on two podcasts. I'm on Intro to X, which is an X-Files intro cast, which is a lot of fun. I'm on the Defenders podcast. We're covering the Marvel Netflix shows. We are currently sorting out a location for our feed before we start covering Jessica Jones. But you can follow us on Twitter at Defenders Pod, and we will update there, and that's kind of my Twitter as well. And you can find me on Etsy at Maiafire, which is MAIAFIRE, where I draw nerdy stuff in general.
And they're awesome. They're definitely awesome.
Oh, thanks, mate. Cheers.
All right, stay cool, everyone. Cool. Bye.
Bye.
Pardon the interruption. I have some news which I believe you will find most interesting.
Would you like to hear the latest in Marvel television, film, video games, and comic books? Or are you looking for some ideas on what to pick up on New Comic Book Day? Well, join Mike and Eric on Mighty Marvel Geeks every Saturday night on Sorcerer Radio, and every Sunday on the Weeby Geeks Network, for all things Marvel.
There is a matter that requires your attention.
Mighty Marvel Geeks, assemble!
All wrapped up here, sir. Will there be anything else?
Nutty Bites is produced at Nimlas Studios. You can find us on the web at nimlasstudios.org. This work is created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported International License. What that means is you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it, you can't change it, and you have to link back to me, my site, and everything. You can comment and send feedback by going to nimlas.org/nuttybites. You can go to facebook.com/group/nuttybites. You can call the comment line by going to 347-NUTTY42, or you can find me on Twitter, you can search on Google+, you can search the web, you can find me everywhere.